We start in Raleigh, where the General Assembly is back in session this week, but lawmakers are not holding any votes. That means no agreement yet on Medicaid expansion, even though there's now bipartisan support for it in both the House and the Senate. The two houses passed different versions of a Medicaid expansion bill earlier this year, and Republican leaders have not yet been able to agree on a compromise. WRAL reports state health officials say Medicaid expansion would get North Carolina more than $500 million in federal funding per month. Better health-related news. U.S. News & World Report is out with its annual ranking of America's best hospitals, and UNC came in as the second-best hospital in the state behind only Duke. UNC also earned high marks for individual specialties, ranking among the top 50 hospitals in the nation for ear, nose, and throat, OBGYN, rehabilitation, and urology. UNC Rex Hospital in Raleigh also scored well, tying for third in the state. UNC and Duke also ranked second and first in the state, respectively, and fifth and fourth in the entire Southeast region for their children's hospitals, with UNC Children's ranking in the top 50 in the nation in 8 out of 10 categories. Meanwhile, some exciting health news in the science lab as well. NNO reporting, researchers at Duke have figured out how to use the CRISPR gene editing tool to block COVID-19 infections in mice. Scientists say that's promising news, though human trials are still a long way out. And there's also some good news on the mental health front, as an important resource for folks in crisis just got a lot easier to access. It's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, and now that's just a 3-digit number. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health crisis, you just have to pick up the phone and call or text 988. I spoke about it this week with UNC Assistant Psychiatry Professor Christina Cruz.
It's important because crisis help is now immediately available and easily accessible with just 3 numbers, similar to 911, which we all know. The hope is 988 also becomes that accessible.
Who can call this line? Who should call this line?
Really, anyone who's having a mental health crisis or who's around someone who's having a mental health crisis, any age, any person with any insurance or no insurance. This is really for everybody to be able to access. And it's so that someone who's trained, a licensed mental health professional, will be responding. And so it's not just a dispatcher who will be sending someone, but really someone who's there to help you think through what's happening, try to intervene with crisis, and only send someone out if they have to. Most of the calls we've learned in North Carolina recently, about 86%, end with that call because that's all that was needed.
I can imagine it can be difficult for someone to pick up the phone for the first time. What do you suggest? What is your recommendation for people who are like, I don't know when is the point at which I should reach out and call?
The threshold should be low. So if you're thinking it, do it. Mm-hmm. There is no cost to calling 988. No one will judge you if it was a call that didn't end up in a mobile health crisis unit coming out. In fact, again, majority of calls, that's not the case. And so if you think it, do it. I think that should be it. And if it turns out you only needed a few minutes and that was it, fantastic. So when in doubt, call.
That's Dr. Christina Cruz speaking there. Again, you can call or text 988 anytime, and you can also chat with someone online at 988lifeline.org. Other local news, Chapel Hill police cited 5 businesses over the weekend for selling alcohol to underage buyers. This was part of an alcohol compliance check where police sent a minor into 19 businesses to try to buy liquor. The 5 businesses that got cited were Wegmans, Top of the Hill, Trolley Stop Hot Dogs, Osteria Georgie, and Lucha Tigre, which got cited for the 2nd month in a row. Businesses that get cited face a $1,000 fine or $2,500 for repeat offenses. Over to Carrboro now, where town manager Richard White says the search is on for a new fire chief. Current fire chief David Schmidt is moving to Illinois for family reasons. He's been on the job since January of 2020, leading the department all the way through the COVID pandemic. Deputy Chief Carl Freeman will take over as interim chief next month. The town of Carrboro is also searching for its next poet laureate, with Fred Joyner stepping down at the end of this year. Speaking on 97.9 The Hill last week, Mayor Damon Siles spoke about what that position entails.
Carrboro, as you know, has had a poet laureate for many years now. I believe we were the first in North Carolina to have one, and one of the few local jurisdictions around the country to have its own poet laureate. Really, the main roles of the poet laureate in Carrboro are to make poetry a bigger part of public life in our town, and works closely with the Poets Council and the Recreation and Parks Department to plan our annual West End Poetry Festival, works with youth in the schools, and participates in Carrboro Day and all kinds of other community activities to make poetry more present in our lives. Our current poet laureate, Fred Joyner, who has been just absolutely wonderful, is continuing through the end of the year in that position. Partly because of the pandemic, his term has been a little longer than it might otherwise have been. You know, it sort of had interrupted his opportunities to be out in the community and spreading the love of poetry. But Fred has been just really wonderful as poet laureate. He's brought his own special perspective on the role. And yeah, looking forward to seeing what kind of applications the town gets.
That's Carborough Mayor Damon Siles speaking there. You can listen to the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelborough.com. And if you want to apply for the position, visit carboroughnc.gov/poet laureate. They're accepting applications through the end of August. One more bit of state news. As of today, North Carolinians who are on probation or parole can register to vote after a court order essentially expired yesterday. That's the latest in an ongoing legal battle around a state law that bans people with felony convictions from voting even after they're out of prison while they're serving out their probation or parole. That affects about 56,000 people across the state. Case has not been resolved yet, though. It's currently before the state Supreme Court. Finally, we head to campus, where tonight is opening night for Playmakers Summer Youth Conservatory. This year's musical is the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, with high school students on stage and behind the scenes after a six-week program working with Playmakers. Here's Playmakers Associate Artistic Director Jeff Mianza.
We started it back in 2007 with this idea of, you know, what would it be like if we brought a group of young folks together and put them through the crucible of the creative process of making theater. And it's just grown and changed over the years. It's really I was lucky enough to be a part of that first year and help lead the program. And it's just really the pride and joy of, and one of our favorite things we get to do all year. And because mentorship is so much a part of the theater world, it's a craft after all, that watching these students grow over the 5 weeks that they're with us. And we've of course had to take a couple summers off because of COVID, but being back at it has just been super fulfilling. And we've had students, we have a student that's on an alumna who is on Law and Order. We have students who've gone off to all different fields, but they have this great tie to the organization and really part of a family of alumni that stay connected with us as they head off in their different directions. It's pretty fantastic and pretty unique, I think, in terms of what theaters offer around the country.
That's Jeff Mianza there. The Summer Youth Conservatory show starts tonight and runs through Sunday. You can get tickets online at playmakersrep.org. And head to our website, chapelborough.com, for even more local news, including photos of a downed tree on Umstead Drive after yesterday's thunderstorm. Storm and news about a new ice cream shop that's coming to Lenore Hall on campus this fall. 6:19, your time. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Rosewood Wealth Management. We're 1 month and counting from the start of the UNC football season, and after last year's disappointment, the expectations this year are a little lower. This year's preseason ACC media poll is out, and Carolina was picked to finish third in the Coastal Division. Tar Heels did get 18 first-place votes, though, plus 2 votes to win the overall conference title. And, in fact, all but one of the 7 teams in the division got at least 1 first-place vote, indicating yet another tight year in the Coastal. That one team that didn't get any first place votes is Duke. They were picked to finish last. Miami is your preseason favorite to win the division. Clemson, of course, is the Atlantic Division favorite, and as per usual, the heavy favorite to win the conference title as well. Individual honors also came down yesterday for UNC junior defensive lineman Miles Murphy. He got named to the preseason watch list for the Outland Trophy, which goes to the nation's top interior lineman, and the Bronco Nagurski Trophy, which goes to the nation's top defender. Other UNC news, the Tar Heel women's tennis team has added a grad transfer, and this is a big name. Abby Forbes is coming over from UCLA after winning Pac-12 Player of the Year honors in both singles and doubles last year. Last September, she was ranked as high as number 2 in the nation in singles. And in baseball yesterday, the Durham Bulls gave up 4 runs in the first inning. No more after that, but they never quite came back, falling 4-3 to Lehigh Valley in the opening game of their home series. Game 2 at the DBAP is tonight at 6:35.